Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
So y'all know me, if you follow me for a while, I normally take long drives back home. I'm from Alabama. And the Lord always loves to talk to me on that 8-hour drive, and I am grateful because that drive is horrible. And on one of my recent visits, it wasn't really a good visit. I was there to be with my baby brother, who has a lot of health things, and thank y'all so much for praying. On that road, as I was headed to Birmingham, Alabama, a place that I lived for over a decade, the place that I actually came from there to here, I was actually driving and I noticed something that I hadn't noticed. I noticed that I had my GPS on. Y'all like, so what? Have you ever had days where you was like, I just noticed something that I do? I had my GPS on and I noticed that I didn't need my GPS to figure out where I was going because I know everywhere to go in Birmingham. And I really know everywhere to go in Montgomery. And in my little Winter Park area, I know where I'm going, but I found out that I still just have my GPS on, and I started asking questions to myself because I'm a thinker. Where my thinkers at? We be in them deep things, bro. We get in that car, we be gone. I began to ask myself the question, why do I have this GPS on? And then I realized that I don't actually follow the GPS anymore for directions. I actually follow it because I want to know what time I'm getting to my destination. Oh, you said and police. My God, today. Obey the laws of the land, daughter. I begin to notice that I rarely look at my GPS for directions. Then just something in my belly was like, think deeper on that. Holy Spirit was like, you do that with us too. Well, you no longer follow me for the directions and the journey that I'm taking you on life. You're just concerned with the time. Can I tell y'all this, that our Lord is not concerned with time. He is outside of time. Somebody wrote a song that said he's here, there, and everywhere now. Somebody said, I know that song. But I want us to actually think about that for a minute. We find ourselves in places in our life where we are more concerned with actually the timing of the destination than the journey that the Lord actually has us on. As we've been in Genesis, for us, it has been a flipping of the page. But for the people that we are reading about, this is their actual life. So we may have flipped a page, but in their life, that was another 20 plus years. Most of my personal frustrations with the Lord mostly had to do with time. You are not following my timetable, Lord. The one who's not just my savior, but the one that actually calls the shots. You're not running the play that I told you to run, Lord. We find ourselves frustrated. My friends, especially my new folks in the faith, settle down and become very comfortable with a God that likes to journey. This text opens up and it annoys me. Let me tell you why it annoys me. Because in the way that I think, when a person is weighty, like we learned last week.
Right.
When a person is shining bright like a diamond. When a person is above integrity. I don't know if y'all are going to be honest, but I think they should not suffer. I think that they should have an easy, cool life. Here is a truth that I have to give us that's going to sting. Integrity is not immunity to suffering. And even righteous suffering do not have a time limit. Yeah. Integrity is not immunity to suffering. And even righteous suffering does not have a short timetable. I know that it does not feel good. I know that it does not set well in our hearts, especially today. Well, we say put a praise on it and get your immediate deliverance.
Wow.
But that is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He actually said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. He said in this world to lay down your life.
Yeah.
It is not going to be easy. But because that man resurrected, it will always be worth it. Sometimes we will find ourselves like David in Psalm 13 saying, how long, O Lord, will you forget us forever? Then he said at the end of that psalm, but I remember your steadfast love. Has anybody ever been somewhere that you had no idea how you got there? I heard somebody say that a broke clock is right twice. Right. So we ain't wrong all the time. You read Genesis, y'all, we've been getting beat. There are some times where you are the integral one in a situation, and yet you still find yourself in a place of suffering. That is where our friend Joseph finds himself in this text. We notice the last chapter that the Lord was with him. He showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the prison keeper. He literally was in charge of everything. They were not worried about Joseph. And whatever he did, he was made to succeed. A successful, holy Joseph, sometime after this, verse 1, found himself in jail still. That bothers me. Verse 1 says, sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. Somebody say confined.
Confined.
The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. This text opens up and let us know that our boy Joseph has been in jail, innocently accused for some time.
Yeah.
That messes with us. We were seeing in the previous chapter his integrity, his character, the weight, the morals. Yet he still find himself sometime after this in jail. If I'm honest, if I was Joseph, and I am confined, like the text say, that word literally means bound. Joseph at a time could have had fetters on his feet, chained up. What did he say? Locked up, won't let me out. For something that he did not do. This should mess with our psyche. And oftentimes this make us ask the question like, Lord, you said that you are with me, but you being with me should not look like a prison.
Come
You being with me should not look like chains. You being with me should cause a quick rescue from everything that I find myself going through. But it says sometime after this. We don't know what that time is, but we know it was time. The cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker. Let me give you some historical context. The cupbearer was the person that handled the food of the king. Most of the kings in the early times were schizophrenic. They were ate up, like we said last week. They were paranoid. And so they literally had what we can say culinary bodyguards. People who were, now, let me tell y'all how jacked up this is. If somebody was trying to poison the king, the role of the cupbearer was to drink the cup before the king drank the cup. So if something was actually in it, you would know. Raise your hand if you want that role. Nah, I'm good. Actually, on the internet, there was this job that this guy had that he had to climb to this highest thing. It's like one of the highest points in the world. Now, they gave him a very big salary per year. You caught it. But the danger of that job, it's not even worth it, big dog. Is it really worth $200,000-$300,000 a year for you to climb upon the highest thing with just a string and a rope? That just don't sound wise to me. So does it sound equally wise for you to run to be the cheap cupbearer? Just because you in the king's house? I don't like you that much, cuz. So literally every day, every moment, this man was risking his life. The chief cupbearer. The chief baker would have been another culinary bodyguard, but his role would have specifically been to bake the bread. And let's be very clear, this wasn't regular bread. So this ain't like I got my little mama recipe. As a matter of fact, historically, he would have turned certain parts of the bread into images and shapes that would have been familiar to the king. So this is like bread. Somebody say bread. This is like that show, the Cake Wars. Where like you're making the best cakes possible. So these two would have been very, very trusted by the Pharaoh. We don't know what got them locked up. We don't know what made the Pharaoh angry. But we know it had to be something. As a matter of fact, the word angry in that text is actually a double intensive angry. It's not even angry like Potiphar was. Because he know Joseph ain't do that for real. So he had like a little anger. But whatever happened with this Pharaoh situation, it caused him to take immediate action. As a matter of fact, that word angry is the same word in the text for God kind of anger. Which meant that, no, I'm not just angry. I'm about to do something about this anger. And what he did, he threw them in jail alongside Joseph. He was angry with his two officers. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. This was a special jail for the prisoners of the king. It was actually in the house. And then the captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. I have a problem. Those of us who don't do the hard work that Joseph did, when we are in prison, we don't want visitors. When we are in a season we don't like, we don't want company. I remember the week that my mom passed away. I was an elder at a church that Pastor Recap came to preach at. And the Lord said, go. To hear this man preach. I did not want company that week because my mom had passed that Thursday. We don't know why these people were in jail, but God knew that they were a key to the next season of Joseph. Just like I didn't know I would meet one of my closest friends. And God's grace to the next season of my life when everything looked dark and dim. Can I commission us in this room? We must be careful to do the hard work so that when we are in seasons of suffering, God may be sending people to you. And when you don't do the hard work, you will reject them because why? I don't want no company. I am glad that Joseph did his hard work. It said they continue for some time, so even more time after that. Now I'm in jail. We in jail. What we gonna do? Look at each other. Verse 5. And one night, they both dreamed. The cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison. Man, the Bible is petty at times. It's making sure you understand that this was the chief cupbearer, the chief baker, and Joseph confined. You know what this shows me? That when we are in seasons of suffering, the Lord does not ask us to be ignorant. We can be fully aware of what's going on in our actual lives, yet simultaneously still cling to the mercy and the favor and the witness of our Lord. It's painting the picture. They were confined for some time. And one night they had a dream, the cup bearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream had his own interpretation. Notice the heart of Joseph. When Joseph came to them in the morning, somebody say he saw that they were troubled, and then he asked. Say he asked. Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in the master's house, why are your faces downcast today? They said to him, we have had dreams, and no one is here to interpret them. And Joseph opens his mouth and says, well, don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me the dreams. Can I show Joseph's heart in this? Most times when we feel not remembered by the Lord, we have no overwhelming desire to remember anybody else. Most times when we feel not remembered by the Lord, we are not entertaining anything. We are clicking do not disturb on serving. Do not disturb on gathering. Do not disturb on anything outside of work and self-loathing. But when you do the work of the Lord on your heart, that even when you are in prison, you are still at service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You still have a heart that says, what do you have for me to do? That sounds familiar, don't it? We'll talk about him later. It said he saw. And he didn't just see, but it said he asked. Which meant that he willingly inserted himself, fellow prisoner, inserted himself because he did not like that they were downcast. Can I ask us a hard question? How many people's downcastness have we ignored because we were mad at God? The Bible says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. Yes. And before he did the greatest thing there ever was to do, he did the most disgusting, humble thing there ever was to be done. He washed the disgusting feet of the folks that would betray him, that would deny him, and that wouldn't even be there with him when he was on the cross. He still washed their feet. And he knew what he was headed to do. He saw. And he asked. Ooh, Jesus. Why are your faces downcast? And they said to him, we had dreams, man. And there is no one to interpret it. Let me tell you a little bit about dreams historically. This ain't new. People had dreams. Joseph in jail because of his dreams. We saw earlier in the text. Let's just name some of the folks that had dreams. Abimelech had a dream. A pagan man had a dream. The righteous man was acting ate up. And the Lord protected the pagan man with a dream. We heard in extensive matter Jacob and Laban's dreams. Later on in the text, Solomon dreamed. Daniel dreamed. Mary's husband dreamed. You get a dream, you get a dream, everybody get a dream. And we got to talk about this. We hear many stories of Muslims who had dreams about the Lord Jesus. We should always be open to how the Lord wants to speak to us. Because I know there's sectors of Christianity that the Lord don't do that kind of stuff. Yes, he do. And at the same time, those who are immature and not in the scriptures, they will begin to lean heavily on things like dreams and will find themselves in false places with the Lord. As a matter of fact, there are many religions that are false religions that were started because somebody had a dream. Me and Matt listened last night to how the SDA movement started. And what was interesting is that sis had a dream. And her dream to that group of people is as authoritative as the text. Where they do that at? Millions of people are following deception because somebody had a dream. And most of the dreams and the prophecies they had did not happen. According to Deuteronomy, you are a false prophet and you need to get out of here. Yet millions of people follow that deception. Can I say this to Christians? Many of us have found ourselves in horrible situations because we think we had a dream. Your dream is not above the scriptures. If you have a dream that is from the Lord, it will line up in the text. Can I also say this too? When we are not doing the heart work, when we are not John 15 abiding in the Lord Jesus, we will begin to grab at anything for the Lord to speak to us.
That's the realest, yo.
It's almost like the Lord can say, gee, green. Let me say this very boldly, very directly, no nonsense, in the way that God has wired me to say it. The Bible is God's voice to us. Period. Nothing added to it.
Nope.
Nothing taken away from it. It is the voice of God for our life. There is no dream that is more weighty than the scriptures. We have to say that. If you read Ecclesiastes 5, it's so funny. It said that you can even have dreams because your mind just got so much going on in it. Ecclesiastes 5:3, much activity causes dreams. You can just be so full of everything that's happening that you'll find yourself having a dream. I had a dream one time that a fork was running after me. Because I'm always hungry. That's why I need to fast. Some of y'all in the room think so much about food, you're dreaming about it. Go on a fast, 3 days. Biblical fast, no eat. Nothing goes here. I ain't talking about social media. I'm going to stop that. That ain't in my text. Most times when we feel not remembered, we become self-centered. But the fruit of the heart work that Joseph did made him compassionate. He saw and he asked. Then Joseph did something else that shows his heart. He said, does not interpretations belong to God? The people in that day, they had a way to interpret dreams. Mm-hmm. There was a system. Yeah. Joseph obliterated that system, saying that I know a man. I know somebody that can actually interpret this dream. Joseph displayed an amazing, beautiful, lovely faith in God. And even though he found himself in prison, he still remembered God. Remember what we read earlier? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, David was saying, you're going to be in some places that feel like the pit, but do not forget God. One of the things that I do. The first thing I do, Lord, did you not care that we would perish? Can I be real? Are we going to be real in the room tonight, today? I don't even want a flat tire. I just don't want nothing to go wrong. Can we? Who with me? I don't want nothing to go wrong.
I want a good day every
single day. Reality check. Not happening. And what the Lord wants us to do every single day is to remember him.
Yeah.
Verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, there was a vine before me. And on the vine, there were 3 branches. As soon as it budded, it blossoms shot forth and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is its interpretation. The 3 branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as before when you were the cupbearer. Joseph not only remembered the Lord, but he put himself out there. This dream, if I'm honest, I'll do the whole, does God not interpret dreams? But once I heard the dream and I heard how vivid and how much full of imagery it was, I would have been like, well, you got your answer. Go pray about it.
That would be me.
That would be me too. Yeah. It sounds like you're going to give him a drink or something. So go figure it out. Because I didn't want to put myself in the hot seat like that. Some of us want to talk about God, but not put ourselves on the line for God. We'll say a bunch of things, but when the fire comes, we find ourselves running. No, he's God, but whoop. Joseph not only said that does not God give interpretations, he then began to walk in a gift that he didn't even know he really had in prison. Can we venture to say that even when we are in suffering, that does not stop the work of God through your life? And when you feel not remembered by the Lord, you will not find yourself desiring to serve him or anybody else. Joseph put himself out there. Here's how he gave a time period. He said, yo, this means 3 days. So what do we say in Deuteronomy? If 3 days from now this didn't happen, what does that make Joseph? A false prophet. He is putting himself on the line.
Yeah.
specifics. These aspects of that dream could not have been guessed. Talking about the three branches represent 3 days. I don't know what it means. Joseph's interpretation came from God, not his own wisdom. Can I encourage us? This world needs wisdom from God, not our own stuff. You know how many people twisting the scriptures? How many false prophets are just saying the things that people want to hear? We need the wisdom from the Most High. And that's what Joseph gave the chief cupbearer. Joseph was bold enough. Ooh, can we touch ourselves and say, Lord, embolden me. I feel this from the Spirit of the Lord. That sometimes we are placed in situations where we actually need to tap into the wisdom of God. For people who may not even know him. Because God can even use stuff like that to reveal his power and his kingdom. And we need to be like the people in Acts and be emboldened to share the wisdom of the Lord. We would know in 3 days if Joseph was correct or not. Verse 14. Here's some tension. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh. And so get me out of the house, for I was indeed stolen. That's strong language in that original language. Out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit. Somebody say, Houston, we have a problem. Joseph was our boy. Joseph had a lot of integrity. But Joseph was not without error. Notice he said, also here I've done nothing. What got Joseph's brothers mad at him? We forget it. Because when we in our suffering, we just put ourselves as Joseph and we wash ourselves of all guilt. But what got him in this predicament in the beginning was that he was arrogant, tattletaling, and he teased his brothers. Now, it did not deserve what they did, but he still was not guiltless. And in the way that we think about justice in this world, we think that we have to absolve all guilt from one party that was actually wrong, when that is not the case. Because we don't think about justice through the lens of the scriptures. We think about it in our own estimation. Me and Pastor Recap had private conversations because the regular church can't handle some of that stuff. But some of the situations we found ourselves in, when you really begin to let God do the heart work, something in your heart begins to change, and that person is not the exclusive enemy, and you are not the exclusive victim. You get a chance to start seeing properly the things that you did that were sin, the things that you did that could have been different. You begin to judge the situation with more pure eyes. And our boy ain't did none, never did none, shouldn't be here. Remember me. Which we can also understand. Because these are like high officials. Y'all acting like we don't be wanting to come up. You tell me somebody, I watch sometimes Bel Air, and Will is always scheming. And he always trying to get the celebrities to get a hand up. So don't act like if we were in prison and somebody, because notice, Joseph was in prison from Potiphar. They were in prison from Pharaoh. There are levels to this. So they were like high official prisoners. And I just gave you a favorable interpretation that I did say was from the Lord, but I'm going to get some up out of this. Ooh, that sounds like some Western preachers. Oh, help, Lord. I'm getting something out of this. When you go before him, remember me. This would sound very innocent to the naked eye, but there is a word which happens to be my favorite word in the Bible. He said, do to me the kindness. That word kindness is my favorite word in the Bible, hesed, which is the no strings attached loyal love that can only come from the Lord himself. So to the naked eye, Joseph was saying, just look out for your boy. But when we look deeper, he was saying, I feel so not remembered that I need you to actually show me hesed and kindness, because obviously I don't feel that the Lord is doing it right now. Can I peer into our mirrors? There are situations and things that we can find ourselves in that can be so dangerous and so bad that we don't think that the Lord is even with us anymore. And we find ourselves, it may not be the chief cup bearer, but it could be horrible addictions, because we want to feel something. We want to feel remembered. And we begin to run to other things that cannot give us what the Lord himself gives us. We begin to speak even deeper about our situation. He said, put me in this pit. Bro, you in a house. When we feel not remembered, the situation may be bad, but we're going to make it more bad. That's when we do that emotionally broken stuff. Everybody never do this. It ain't never that. When most of the thing that you have, most people would die for it. The house that we complain about, there were people in other places that wish they even had a room. The things that we find ourselves quarreling over. Other people will be like, what is wrong with y'all? There was a church I recently preached at. And one of the things the leader told me was that there was a lot of division in the church, even amongst the students. Me and Matt walked in this church. Y'all, I felt so bad for Billy and Brad. The stage was humongous. Like, the four of them was swallowed up on this stage. It literally was like, bro, just put them on the floor. It was hundreds of students in this room. And the first thing came to my mind. It's a baseball field, a football field, and multiple basketball courts on the property of the church. The first thing that came to my mind, what are y'all fighting about? Go run on the football field and get the energy out. And when we begin to look at our own grumbling and complaining, the thing that we are grumbling and complaining about, other people would want it. Even this beautiful church in here. Look at God's diversity. Like, no culture in here is dominant. It's supposed to be hard. This is actually what's called church. What you were doing before was not what the beautiful reality of the manifold witness of God really is. We're not just color different. We're culturally different. I've tasted the food. I'm going to stop there. Amen. But we get a chance every single week to look in a room and see the manifold wisdom of God. This school that we meet in is not just to meet in a school. We are in a neighborhood where people are crying, will somebody remember me? Wow, 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 wow. I pray That everyone in this room that is a part of New Creation Fellowship, do not just come to Creative Village in Paramore on Sunday. This is the harvest that the Lord has for us. There are people who need what the Lord has. They need the wisdom of God. Because there are many in this room, and there's many in this neighborhood, on this street, on those streets, everywhere in Orlando, that may not be in a physical prison, but they're in a spiritual one, and they are bound by fetters. But we serve a Jesus that has the gospel of good news that releases the prisoner, and they need to be freed. Do not get so self-consumed in your life that you forget that there are other people in the world. Joseph said, remember me, show me the kindness. Now, the next verse is, I would have been just like the baker. He heard, homeboy got a good interpretation. It is my turn. I would have been in that prison like, you done asking him to remember you? Okay, here we go. Verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. That just don't sound good already, bro. I'm sorry. And Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Okay, we good. 3 days. Okay, cool, cool, cool. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you. Wait.
Wait.
That don't sound like the other one. Then he said, and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you. Okay. All right. The baker was encouraged that his companion had a good interpretation of his dream. And just like we will hope for the same thing. I'm going to say something that's going to challenge me. That's going to challenge us. What we see is that Joseph was as faithful to deliver the message of judgment as he was to deliver the message of deliverance. This is a mark of a godly messenger who does not fail to bring the whole message of God. He trusted the same God. I feel the power of the Lord Jesus in this room. He trusted the same God to give the message of deliverance as he trusted the same God to give the message of judgment. James Montgomery Boyce said this, and I'm going to say it like he said it. How many are there who are willing to preach the cupbearer's sermon but unwilling to preach the baker's sermon? What happens when you actually have to preach the actual message of judgment? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Both of them. Joseph knew that this was a disgraceful way to die. But Joseph also understood that this interpretation did not come from me. It came from the Lord. You got to say both. He don't know what crimes they were suspected of, but from this interpretation, it looks like the butler was guilty. That don't feel good to us. Can I? Ooh, I don't want to do this, Lord, but I'll do it. Ooh, Jesus. There are people in our lives who are hanging on the balance of life and death, and you are trying to be nice. If we knew how close we were to eternity every single day, we're not degrading people. We're not bashing people. But we are called to tell the truth. We are called to be truth tellers. There are people in your life that are not right with the Lord. They do not need you to only say God loves, but they need you to define the love of God. In this is love, not that we just love God, but that he loved us and he gave Jesus as a mercy payment. And you need mercy. I gotta tell you the truth. Jesus did not come into this world just to have a good time. He came to die for sinners, as which I was one, the chief of them. We got to tell the truth. I have to linger in that for a second. Because I think people came to your mind. I feel it in the room. There are people who came to your mind. Do not close your ears to what the Lord is saying. We have to sit in the weight of that. We are called to tell the whole truth. I'm going to stop and pray. Lord, I pray even now that the people that came to mind, for many in this room, I really saw the Spirit put in their face, in your face. I pray that you would give them the boldness and the integrity before the Lord to tell the whole truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We close with verse 20 through 23. It says, on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. And here's the really, really bad news. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. If we look at this story and we just compare it to other regular people, this would be a story of incredible injustice. No matter how amazing Joseph was, at the end of the day, he was just a human. And he had to say, remember me. But our Lord Jesus is not just a human. And he doesn't have to say, remember me. But others say to him, remember me. Jesus is so glorious and so bright that he takes over this entire chapter and fulfill every single thing that's every single place. He's not a better or greater Joseph. He ain't like Joseph. Jesus was not just innocent, but he was sinless. And he came into our prison and he shared our condition. Emmanuel, God with us. He lived a perfect life that literally we could not live, and was the only one who actually could be the chief cupbearer, because he was the only one that could drink the full cup of wrath that our sin deserved. He was crushed like grapes. Every day of his life, he kept revealing the Father's message to us that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, which was a message that was life and death. In every sense of the word, he kept telling the disciples that he would be handed over to the chief priest and to the scribes. and that they would condemn him to death and deliver him over. He told them that they would mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. But he also said after 3 days he would rise. Sometime after this, his words proved true. He was on a cross, lifted up between two guilty thieves, and they mocked him, saying, "Save yourself and save us." But one of the thieves, however, said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He said it to the one that actually will remember and will not forget. Jesus said immediately, "Today you will be with me in paradise sometime after this." Jesus began to quote Psalm 22. On the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he yielded his spirit. Jesus was actually forgotten so that you and I will never be forgotten. And we will always be remembered by God no matter where we find ourselves. That word forsaken in that text literally means to be forgotten. The Bible said literally it got dark. We can look at the image of God turning his back. And it got dark. Jesus was on that cross and it was dark. There are some times in your life where it's going to be dark. But Jesus cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" So that you, no matter what prison, no matter what darkness that you find yourself in, that you can know that you will always be remembered by God. Sometime after this, they buried him. They sealed it and they guarded it to make sure that they could try to, they was like, they're going to try to do something. And they're going to try to tell a message that ain't the true message. They're going to try to say somebody came and stole them. There's even people today that say that, and we can just point them to the scriptures. Look, he said you would say this. They had a guard. They had a guard guarding the tomb. Think about it. One day, the ladies came, and that tomb was open, and there was no one there. Because the message that Jesus said to his disciples all the time, it became true. He said that I will be risen from the dead. What I want us to see is that the words of Joseph only freed the innocent prisoner and not the guilty one. But the message of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, it rescues the guilty, and because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, it only rescued the guilty. And that is good news for us. Sometime after this, Jesus will return and there will be a party that will outshine Pharaoh's birthday party. There will be a feast of all feasts with every nation, kindred, and tribe surrounded by the throne, declaring the message of who he really is. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy are you to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. The only one that was worthy to take the scroll and open its seal, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the worthy one, the holy one. Glory be to you, King Jesus.
Yes.
For the one that's in the room that's in mourning.
Jesus.
For the one in the room that don't know him. For the one in the room that is in a season of suffering. For the one that deals with depression and anxiety. For the one that's afraid to actually really see what's going on in your life. Will you see our risen Savior who chose to still have the mark in his hand to show you that you can be real about what you're going through? But that mark also shows that he will never forget you and that he always sees you. Lord, we thank you this morning for your presence.